Yes, we're better than blessed. Amen. Better than blessed. Thank the Lord. Amen. We're grateful for our mothers, grateful for God's blessing in our church today, and we're grateful for you being here. Amen. How many of you know that if it wasn't for a mother, you wouldn't be in this world? I know some of you are saying, duh, yeah. But just as a reminder that they deserve recognition, they deserve our prayers, they deserve that respect, and to let them know that you love them, that's a wonderful thing. Amen? So happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. We're grateful. We know we've got a lot going on in our church. We've got a lot of things happening with our youth. And with many of them are graduating, moving on in life. So we want to recognize that. As you've noticed on the announcements, that's coming up. We also have things going on in our community. Next Saturday, we'll be having our car show here at Crossroad on the Lawn. And there may be people that never step into these doors, but that doesn't mean that we can't reach out and bless them. Amen. And yesterday was a very special day. I'm grateful that Crossroad had an opportunity to share with Dr. Tony Evans and his family this. They were here at Crossroad, and I took a picture with him. Yes, he's a little bit taller than me. But we were grateful and humbled by that. We met with him on Friday. Of course, we're just thankful that the Lord would allow opportunities for us to cross paths with different people in life. And I want to thank Crossroad on behalf of Richard and Jackie Long. Jackie lost her father, and Crossroad represented on yesterday. And I'm grateful for those that drove down, Frank and Gary. I know Gary's around here. Where Gary at? Wave your hand. He's around here somewhere. But anyway, they drove, and so we're grateful for them going down and spending time letting people know that you care. As a matter of fact, Dr. Evans said something that I wrote down. Did you not know that people, relationships, those are assets. Those are monetary assets spiritually. If you don't have people in your life that can speak into you, you're living in a world by yourself. You're living in a world that's very dangerous. Amen? So you need people to do that. Robert walked out. See, Robert, I'm a big mouth. I tell stuff. He attended service a couple of Sundays ago on Easter Sunday. You talk about the power of God. He said that during that service, God moved in his life, and he didn't know what was happening. But he went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, your count is up, your blood count. And I'm looking at you because I don't want to get it wrong. And he said that since that service, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, he's not had to have another blood transfusion. They're looking at his numbers. And I just want to give God credit. I just want to give God credit. Here he is right here. It is no secret what God can do. We give God all the glory and all the praise. Amen. So I know Miss Campbell is having her a wonderful Mother's Day. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach now. Probably some other things that we need to recognize, and we'll do that later. Courtney, I think you've been tasked with singing a song this morning. And I don't want anybody to get me in trouble, so you can have to, all right, after the service. We invite your attention, though, to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm not going to hold you long. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're reading verses 8 through 15. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that is Elijah, saying, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have drink? As she was going to get it, he called and said, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. And she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. May the Lord continue to bless the reading of his word. I want to just share a little bit about the ministry of a mother. You may be seated. The ministry of a mother. Father, bless us now to bring out what you have given on my heart, laid on my heart to bring forth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Father, bless the word that it may not only touch the mothers, but also touch everyone that's here today. Those that are listening on the airways, we pray that those online would receive a blessing as we look to you for guidance and direction. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the people said, amen, amen. Yes, it's good to know somebody in this world, amen. Amen. The Clavons happened to be related to somebody who happened to be in the family of Dr. Tony Evans. And guess what? I got to meet him. God is good. Can y'all say God is good? Amen. I have a sense of humor about things, but I realize that God is working. God is doing some things that we probably have never really paid attention to. So often we look at ministry as something that only happens in here, but God is moving everywhere. Amen. Everywhere. We are grateful that the Lord has moved in our lives in such a way that we have been touched. Maybe not in church, but somewhere. Somehow, God has touched your life. And that is what we call serving or ministry. As we look at some things today, and I'm just going to give you a couple of things. Serving has somehow gotten this title or this kind of application that people think that it only happens in religious settings. Folks gather around, they sing songs, and they worship, and certainly that is serving, but that is not the only service that God gives. God moves in natural ways. God moves in ways that may never really come under the roof of a building or a temple. God moves throughout the world. As a matter of fact, God, if you hadn't looked at it this way, is a God who serves. He served you this morning, woke you up, allowed you to see another day. And what we find out is that there is a need, underscore that, there is a need for people who have a mind to serve, to say, I want to help somebody. Within the religious environment of Israel, they had grown accustomed to service being around and about the tabernacle and later on the temple of the Lord. You had this group that was called the Levites, and they basically conducted ministry in Israel, but they were really serving. They were really serving. The priesthood was restricted to only the seed or the descendants of a man called Aaron. And the Levites were the only ones who could handle or who could carry what we call the holy instruments. But here is God in this passage using two people to do the work of ministry, and it does not involve temple worship. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? As a matter of fact, Elijah came from an area called Tishbe. So he is a Tishbite. He's not really involved in the daily sacrifice of animals. He's not involved in any of those things. He simply has been directed by God, go over to northern Israel and tell them that they are worshiping the wrong God. They're worshiping Baal, and they need to recognize that I'm the one that brought them out of Egypt, gave them the land that they're living in, and I'm blessing them in their lives. Elijah, you go tell them. And what did Elijah do? He came out of this area, Tishbe, which was in Judah, all the way over to northern Israel. And he said, look, I'm not here trying to get in your business, but God has directed me to tell you, you are bowing down to Baal, and you need to worship God. So God sent him there. Elijah pronounced a 3-year drought. He said, now, it's not going to rain. Let y'all know that I'm not making this up. It's not going to rain for 3 years here because you're doing wrong and you're living wrong. And Elijah pronounced that judgment. Ahab the king got mad. Said, you know what? If I can catch up with you, Jackie's going to be on. But he couldn't find him. Why? Because God was hiding him. Elijah had given, he had told them what the Lord said, and God said, Elijah, don't worry about it. I'm still going to use you. I still have a purpose, so don't worry about anybody killing you. By the way, there's a message in that you don't have to worry about people harming you as long as you know you're doing what God told you to do. Let them talk, let them do what they want to, but they can go no further than what God allows. Go no further. So we see a man here used by God to tell a nation that they needed to turn back to God. But the other thing that we do not see in this passage, or that we do see in this passage that we've probably overlooked all of our lives, is the ministry of this woman. The opening verse says in verse number 9, it says, go at once to Zarephath. Now he's been by this brook. He's been living by this brook. And guess what? He had the crows to feed him. Now, I don't know whether y'all from the city understand what crows are, but they're called dirty birds. They'll eat anything, all right? You know, and when you're down and out, you can't be picky. And so God allowed the ravens to feed him, but then the brook where he was living dried up. The ravens said, we ain't got nothing else for you, bro. You on your own. And God said to him, go to Zarephath at once. And notice what the verse says. When he came to the town, or in other words, God said, I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. Now, don't miss the note there. God said, I've already told the widow that she's going to take care of you. So here comes Elijah going over to this place called Zarephath. Remember, the king, he's looking for him. Ahab is looking for him. If I can catch up with you. And you know what God does? Here's the humor of God in the scripture. God sends this prophet, Elijah, to the hometown of Jezebel. Jezebel is Ahab's wife. Some of y'all don't even know. Who is Jezebel? Make sure it ain't you. Thought I put that in. He's looking for him. He wants to kill him. And so God said, I'm going to put you right up under his nose, and he's not going to be able to see it. There's another sermon in that. When other people are trying to hunt you down and take everything you've got, don't worry about it. God's got you in his own hand. Look at somebody, tell him, I'm in good hands. The irony of this is that Elijah finds himself in a people ministry, and so does this woman this widow from Zarephath, we don't even know her name. But yet God spoke to her and said to her, you're going to take care of the prophet until there's rain from heaven, or roughly about the period of anywhere from 2 to 3 years, she had to provide the food. Here comes the problem. She had no food. He comes to this place called Zarephath, finds the widow. Zarephath is a city over in the region of Sidon. And what do those people worship? They don't say hallelujah to God. They worship this god called Baal. We got one in America. We got one. We got a god in America called Baal. Sometimes Baal reveal himself as money. Come on, talk to me in here. People say, we ain't got no Baal worship. We got Baal worship. Sometimes Baal will reveal himself in sexuality that people have. All right? A lot of Baal worship. Instead of people behaving themselves, they're bowing down to gods who will ultimately destroy their lives. Back to the story. Elijah comes to town. He knows God sent him there. He's looking for the widow. Gets to the gate of the city. And Ms. Kabla, much to his surprise, he runs across this widow, and God taps him on the shoulder and said, that's the widow right there. Guess what she's doing? She's picking up sticks. Now again, y'all city folk, y'all had the little dial on the side of the wall. You turn the heat up. We had to go out and make a fire. Am I country enough for you? We had to make a fire. And what we would do when we make a fire, we had to get some kindling. Are y'all in the building? Now, what's interesting about this thing, when she went out to get some kindling, she was at the city gate, not at her house. That meant she was really poor. Anytime in the country that you don't have a wood pile, you poor. Everybody in the country had a wood pile that you'd go to, get some chips, and make a fire. And what she said to him, I'm picking up sticks and I'm getting ready to go back to my house, make a fire, prepare a meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die. That's when Elijah stepped in and said, wait a minute, change of plans. Look at somebody and say, change of plan. Just when you thought everything had run out, God said, you're right on time. Yeah. Just when you thought the money in the bank account is gone, God said, you're getting ready for a deposit. Yeah. Just when you thought that your body couldn't take it anymore, God said, I'm getting ready to renew you. I'm getting ready to give you strength that you didn't know you had, because you didn't have it. You got it from me. Just when you thought that you were getting ready to throw in the towel, God said, keep that towel, because you're going to need it on your journey. I wish I had some witnesses in here. You got to understand that the balance of the equation is not what you can do, but it's what God can do. The balance of the equation is not for you to think, I can handle this. God gives you impossible things so that you might look up to him and say, Lord, I want to lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Y'all know the rest of it. You know the rest of it. All of my help. Holler at somebody and say, all my help comes from the Lord. So here's the thing we got to understand. That you look at ministry. If you look at a mother, she's a giver of life. Who is God? He's a giver of life. Where did mothers get that? They imitated God. God said, I'm going to show you something so simple, going to blow your mind. And now, I know, I get it. Our Baal society getting ready to bring people in the world through all of these other means. But God said, no, this is my way. Are y'all in the building? They bring people into the world. They also care for the helpless. I know y'all big and brawny, big brawny guys and grown women talking about,
My mama, you know, she don't know this and she don't know that. She brought you here and she took care of you. And you just laid there just helpless as you could be. Why? That's God working. That is ministry. You know, and if you don't have those things in your community, in your world, you really don't have a foundation for a church. If you don't have people who do the simple things from day to day. I get it. I know you're holy and sanctified now. I get that. But remember when you didn't know anything about God and your mama had to teach you how to pray? Or have you forgotten now? Yeah, and she ain't educated like I am, so she still knows more than you will ever know. Because she'll tell you in a heartbeat, I've been there. And I got the t-shirt. I know what I'm talking about. Guess what, y'all? Until you know neology, you don't know theology. Yes, Lord, I'm getting ready to preach here. But then she teaches and promotes. She also counsels those in trouble. Many days, I've run across issues that I said to myself, I wish I had mama to talk to. Have y'all been there? That's when you know you had a good mama. Amen, somebody. And those of you that still got a good mama, you ought to let her know, Mama, I love you. So Elijah comes to this widow. She's got a son. She says, I'm getting ready to fix the last meal before we go and die. God whispers to Elijah, that's a change of plan. This woman from Zarephath, she is not only going to be a survivor, she's going to sustain you. And everything's going to be all right. I just want to give you a couple of things about ministry that will help you. That mother understood what the need was. She understood that as God would provide, and that's the thing that we really want to say to you, that ministry is best conducted by those who understand what a need is. People who don't know, who've never been in the position of being broke, can't tell you about what broke means. People who've never suffered from a disease, never had an affliction, really can't tell you what it's like and how it's going to be all right as you go through yours. That's why I'm glad that we got ministries in the church that help people who are going through. Why? Because they walked that road. God sent Elijah to this poor woman because she understood what being poor was all about. I'm going to tell you something about poor folk. In case some of y'all are rich in here, I don't know where we got any rich. Anybody rich in here, just wave your hand. A lot of us would say, you know what, I might have a few dollars right now, but it's been rough in my life. I know what being poor is all about. Poor people who don't complain about their poverty, what they will try to do is to really be thankful and, watch this, and resourceful with everything that they got. In other words, you ain't gonna find them throwing away stuff. No siree. They'll save the Walmart bag until it gets so many holes in it. They can't use it no more. Poor folk. Poor folk know what it is to repurpose stuff. You buy a jar and it has one thing in it. What poor folk will do, wash it out and use it again. Long before we had Tupperware, everything that you would run across, we ain't buy no Tupperware. You take the thing and hit, Ma, this said Miracle Whip. No, go on, use it. Put the string beans in it. What this woman from Zarephath knew, she knew how to survive as a poor person. But guess what? She had come to the place where she understood, I got one more scrape of meal in this barrel. I got one more scrape. I'm about to get tears in my eyes because I remember a time when my mother would go back to the pantry and wasn't hardly any flour in the barrel. Some of y'all have been there. Amen. When you get to the place where you don't have enough meal in the barrel to make a biscuit, what do you do with it? You make gravy. Shout yes, somebody. You ain't been eating T-bone steak all your life. God brought you from a mighty long way. And why do you say that? Because if you know how to use and be resourceful over those small things, get ready for your blessing. That's all I'm going to tell you. That just get ready for what God has in store for you. I wish I had a praying church. I wish I had a praying church. You got to be thankful. You got to understand what needs are. You don't ever want to put people in ministry that they don't understand what the needs are. They're going to mess it up. That woman understood what it meant to be in need. So she understood that this prophet, this man of God, is in need. I got to rush on. I'm running out of time. The second principle of ministry is that you got to understand that it depends on God's provision. What did she tell the prophet? I don't have anything. How you going to come to my house and or ask me for a loaf of bread and all I got is enough for me? Now, she could have said, man, you better get up out of here. But she realized that God had sent him because the Lord had told her ahead of time. Watch this now. How many of y'all come from a poor family and then all of a sudden company comes? And they hungry. And now you not only got to feed yourself, Tony, but you got to now feed the company that's sitting around your house. And you be saying to yourself, I'll be glad when these folk go home. Come on, talk to me in here. Talk to me. She said, sir, I don't have anything. I don't really have anything. But in a sharing community, in a gifted community, people don't necessarily find the resources within themselves, but somehow God will work through people to bring about what needs to happen. God is your source. Paul wrote this later in the book of Philippians 4 and verse 19, but my God shall do what? Shall supply all your need. And we look at supply as simply being a one-time deal, a one-time delivery. But that word really has a continuation to it. He's going to keep on supplying as long as you keep on depending. Let me say this word to everybody that's in here. Never think that you yourself are going to be able to meet all the needs of your life. God has to supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the way he does it. That's the way he does it. Final point that I want to share with you about ministry is that successful ministry is a result of obedience. You got to be obedient to God. You got to listen to what he tells you. Anytime you come up with your own options, you have failed God and you failed yourself. People say, well, God's looking for worship. He's looking for obedience. Obedience is better than worship. It's better than you throwing up your hands. It's better than you singing with your voice. Obedience means, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. This woman said, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to serve. And look at the end of the caption. It says that, so there was food. How long? Every day. Every day. I've woken up many days and didn't know what the day was going to bring, but if I'd go to my refrigerator, I'd always see something in there that God had provided. And the very fact that you're sitting in this audience today, that you're listening online, is the very proof that God has been faithful, and when you are obedient to him, he will supply your every need every day. Every day. And it says that so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. I was going to add a footnote about Elijah. It looked like that he was kind of being pushy, you know, in time you give him,
I'm gonna get you the water, but now you tell me you want bread too. I'm not gonna get in that today. I got to hurry up and close my sermon. Y'all say, go on, Reverend Coleman, go on. Yeah, help me, push me. We would think that once you're doing what God wants you to do, and once you're in a position where God wants you to be, Elijah's where God wants him to be because he told him to be there, bad place, but still God said, you're going to be here. The woman is doing what she's supposed to do. And we would think that once you are at that place in ministry, you're making progress, everything is good. Read the rest of the chapter. The Bible said that the woman's son got sick. Not only does it say that the son got sick, he died. Here's this woman who's listened to God. She said, now, God, you got my attention. I'm going to do what you said. But she had some undealt with issues in her life, and God wanted to get at those things. And he said, now I'm going to get your attention. Son died. First thing she did, ran to the prophet, said, now, man of God, why are you punishing me? Have you come to expose my sin? Have you come to reveal the sin in my life? Now, she's talking about two things that really you and I must deal with. If you're in ministry, you've got to know that God has taken care of your sin. We can preach everything else. We can deal with everything else. We can talk about the Lord is good, and all the time, God is good. We can talk about that, but until he has dealt with your heart, dealt with the real issue that separates us from God, you haven't really seen ministry. He's got to do a work in your heart. And the woman asked him, said, now, has all this happened because of my sin? All of this had happened for God to be glorified. I wish I had somebody to say yes right there. The son had died, and Elijah took the child up to the room, and he prayed over him. And you read the story how that he stretched him out over the child and prayed. If we ever were at a time where we need to start praying, church, that time is right now. Ministry does not happen just because you make up your mind. You got to pray over it. You got to ask God to bless it. We are living in a day and age where the world wants to kill our children. The world is saying, if I can't kill them with drugs, I'll kill them with that. I'll take away their vitality. I'll take away their energy. But let me tell you something. God is still God. And we've got to pray and work as never before to say, Lord, do it for us. That we might honor your name. Pray over that child every day. Call on the name of Jesus. Let them know that the Lord is the one who will keep them every step of the way. I used to come home, tore up from the floor. Come on now. I was a son in sin. But God had mercy on me. Look at me right now. I don't deserve it. And a lot of people say, well, you don't deserve it. Guess what? But I'm still here. In Jesus' name. To let you know that it's God that's in us. And he works in our lives in special ways. So that we might become everything that he would want us to be. I'm getting ready to close this sermon. I'm getting ready to close here. But until she had realized that I need God not only to prepare a meal for me, I need God spiritually. And until you get to that place where you understand that you need God spiritually to guide and direct you and to help you as you live in this sinful world, you really haven't gotten into the fullness of the ministry of Christ. Let me give you a couple of conclusions to help you with this. Number one, listen to God's instruction. Don't know everything. Don't Google everything. Some things you can't get on Google. Come on, help me out now. Help me out now. And a lot of those people are giving you their opinions. They're giving you what they think. They're giving you this ideology and that ideology. But when you get on your knees before God and begin to call on his name, how many of y'all know that God will answer your prayer? You've been burdened over something for days, and you've worried about it. But as soon as you said, Lord, I know you can make a way out of no way, God came through. Look at Robert. He had a testimony of what God can do. Look at your own life. You got a testimony of what God can do because you followed his instruction. Second thing about it, depend on God's supply. Depend on God's supply.
Why do you think you bow your head and pray over your food? You don't pray because, Lord, I'm getting ready to eat some food now. Don't let it make me sick. No, no, no. Lord, I'm getting ready to eat some food. Don't let it add any calories to it. No, 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 no. Lord, I'm getting ready to eat some food and I don't like it. You don't pray for that reason. You pray for God to bless it. You pray because you know where it came from. Came from the hand of God. He loves to give to you. And he wants you to become your very best. But you got to follow his instructions and you got to lean and depend on his supply. Third thing, pray to God when trials come. I know some of y'all mothers, if I could give y'all the microphone. Some of y'all mothers would get up here and testify, Lord, let me tell you what the Lord did for this wayward child of mine. I didn't think they were going to ever turn around. Come on, talk to me, somebody. But didn't God do it? Here they are, sitting them in church today. Amen. Could have been somewhere else, but God allowed for them to be delivered through your prayers. I'm telling you, I'm so glad that we have this ministry that mothers are doing and they continue to do for the glory of God. And the last thing that the woman said, she said, now I know. What convinced her was not the fact that a hungry preacher came to her house and wanted something to eat. That didn't convince her. The hungry preacher started saying, God's going to bless you with the supply. That didn't convince her. But when that hungry preacher came down those steps with that child in his arms and said, look at what God has done. I'm going to give you back your child. That's when she said, the word of God is truth in your mouth. She understood that Elijah was sent to proclaim God's power. That mother had gotten to the place where she saw the goodness of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's really about. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer with me. Thank you, God, for mothers. They have served you in good times and bad times. We ask that you will help us all to apply the lessons that we've learned. Teach us the importance of giving, because that is the true meaning of ministry. We give you, may we give you our very best as if we were giving it to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. I'm going to give the invitation. There may be someone today who's never met the Lord. For you to proclaim that God is truth and the truth of God is in your mouth, you've got to meet him for yourself. I want to give the invitation. If there's someone that is lost, or maybe you have said, well, today is the day I want to get fully committed to God. Today is that day. May we all stand. Those of you that are joining online, I know you can't come in here, but you can pray right where you are. The God that your mother served and the God that she honored, you can bow and say, Lord, do a work in my life. Help me to understand your goodness and your mercy. Invitation is given. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just, he will save you. He will save. Oh, I love that. I love that. He will save.
He will save you. Just now. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. All right, Courtney, your turn. Amen.
I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and to the ones that have gone on home. I'm going to ask y'all a question. How many of y'all had a praying mother?
Man.
I first started singing this song when I was a teenager. I didn't have a kid, you know, running the roads, coming home late. So at first I didn't really know the meaning really behind this song. It was just, hey, sing the song. So I'm like, okay. But now over the years and me becoming a mother, I now know the meaning of this song. And I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all can relate to me on this song. So I haven't sung this song in about 5 years. So y'all just bear with me. I thought you'd like to know all those nights you paced the floor, praying I would make it home all right. Believing God that He would someday save my soul, well He did. And I thought you'd like to know, I thought you'd like to know all those prayers you prayed for me. Never a one fell to the ground. And I know sometimes it looks like I was a million miles from grace. He answered your prayers. And I thought you'd like to know. Oh, Mama, I want you to know I love you. And please forgive me for all the times I broke your heart. And every tear you cried for me, to me closer to being free. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I thought you'd like to know. I wish I could live my life again, 'cause if I could, I would surely make amends. If I can help my brother a new life to discover, oh, I will. And I thought you'd like to know. Oh, Mama, want you to know I love you, and please forgive me for all the times I broke your heart, and every tear you cried for me was to me closer to being free. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I wanna thank you, and I thought you'd like to know. I love you, Mama.
Mother's Day to everyone, especially those who do not have children. You're still a mother of Mother's Ministry. Thank you, Pastor. Lord, we are so grateful. So thankful on this day that we can celebrate all the mothers, not only here, but those who have gone before us and who have left a legacy for us to follow. We thank you, God, that you have given us someone who are able to, or who is able to teach us and to tell us the importance of who you are so that we can become more like you. We praise you for that. We thank you for it. So we do pray and ask as we depart from this sanctuary that we may continue, O God, to express that love that you shed on the cross and the love that each and every mother has for their children, that we may be able to share it with mothers who have not said yes to Christ. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you, O God, for a church who loves to share your word. May we receive it as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. As we leave, may our hearts be joyful, knowing, O God, that you are with us. We thank you for this offering, O God, that you we are about to receive. Lord, that may be the only time that we may have to give. We just pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, that we give willingly, so that men and women, boys and girls, may hear the word of God proclaimed. There are enough problems in this world, but we do know, Lord, that we can't solve it all, but we can again present Jesus to someone who is lost. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.